I've said this before, but in Lent, the readings teach us three things. First, they teach us how to live the life the Lord died to give us. And so many of the readings are from the Sermon on the Mount, which for Christians, you see, that's the basis or the norm of moral theology. Beatitudes. That's the law. That's the new law as expressed in words. The new law deeply is the Holy Spirit. That's the new law, because he lives in us and moves us. And so the first reading shows us how serious the law is. If you don't mind, I want to check a word. I'm a little disappointed in this translation. You are making an agreement with the Lord. I'm almost sure that word is berith, and I'll find out in a minute. And you don't make agreements with God. Shake hands, God. Well, you do your part, God, and I'll do mine. I mean, we don't do that with God. Anyway, before I get carried away, I should take a look and see what the text really says. It's very important. I wouldn't hold you up like this if it weren't. You know, because a berit is not a contract, you see. And so it starts on 16. Let's take a look. I could need more light. Well, I may have to look Bakula Babaka. Anyway, I'm sure it's berit. Because we don't make contracts with God. God sets the terms. And the terms prescribe how we respond in gratitude. I don't want to take a long time on this, but it's kind of important. These covenants all begin, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I brought you out with a strong hand and brought you to myself," right? That's the foundation of the covenant. Now, archaeology can help a lot, you know. So we dug up these covenants made between Hittite rulers and their vassals. And all the prologues start the same. "I did all these good things for you, therefore you must." Even there, though it's juridic, as it were, the motive is gratitude. There's a famous one, you're going to giggle, but there's a famous one. It's between Shubiludilumas and Dubitesup. Not household names. And he starts off, "I, Shubiludilumas, the sun king." Of course, they're not exactly too humble. "I did this and this and this. I put you on the throne rather than your brother. I helped you when the enemy came. And now this is what you must do." So you see, our covenant is God showing us what we should do to respond to him for what he's already done. So when our Lord says, "This is my blood of the new covenant. Look at what I've done for you." And then allow my Holy Spirit to move you. And that's what he's saying. That Lord, and I'm, anyway. Now, the first part of instruction that we learn is how we're supposed to really living the Christian life. The second thing we learn, you see, is the meaning of the passion. It's the work of the Trinity out of the infinite depth of their love. That'll become clearer and clearer as the readings get into John later in Lent, okay? And the third is very mysterious. The third is to catch a glimpse of the interior suffering of Jesus. To share in his the suffering of his spirit, of his soul. And this, as you may know, has been the characteristic of most of the blesseds and saints that we've had recently. They share, because even it's called, there's a book called A New and Divine Holiness. So we have this. So our Lord is telling us, you see, you have heard it said, we're in what's called the antitheses. You're getting a Bible lesson this morning. That part of the sermon where Matthew gathers together, you heard it said, but I say. Well, who's this person to say that's what it said, but now it's going to say? He's the Son of God. So you heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Shene doesn't always mean like hate, but it means, you know, they're enemies. Okay. I say to you, love your enemies. No joke. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. When was the last time you prayed for Obama? You see? So that you could be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not, and then our Lord is kind of ironic, you know, they all hate the tax collectors, right? They're Jews for the most part, working for the occupation forces, collecting these taxes. So he says, don't the tax collectors do that much? Say, hi, Joe, how's business? You see? And if you greet your brothers and sisters only, what is so unusual about that? Do not the pagans do that? No. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that's the moral teaching. To be perfect. Well, what does that mean? It means that from now on, the law is not a norm. It's God the Father. That's the norm. Well, I don't know who he is. Well, you better get to know him. Well, I'm very busy. Well, yeah, so is he. You know, it's now we have to be like our Father. And he's the norm. And he pours out love on everybody. That's the norm. So it's not a norm, is it? It's a person. It's a person. That's where we get our impulse from. To be like that. And the example, with all the tension going on, my heavens, who knows what's going to happen over the weekend around here. God does, I'm sure. Love your enemies. It's not an option. Do good to those who hate you. Because your norm is your Father. So you see where it puts the whole obligation? You got to get to know your Father. I can promise you, based on the Word of God, there's nothing the Father wants more than for you to really know him, to really fall in love with him, to be really moved by him. That's why our Lord takes this last line. How many times in the Old Covenant did God tell his people, you must be holy as I am holy? And the word there in the Hebrew text is kadosh, comes from kachu, cut off, stay away from the sins, be over here on this side. Now our Lord said, that's not good enough. And agios in Greek means the same thing. The word for, you're really getting a Bible lesson this morning. Anyway, the word for earth in Greek is gi. So agios means holy. It means not earthly. And our Lord said, that's not good enough. You've got to be perfect. Like your Heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, you can't do it. But that's why the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Love. And with all the tension right now, it's interesting that we have this gospel providentially for us today. You know? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. See, that you could be children of your Father. Because if they see that love, many will change. It's so above human. It's so not natural. And that's where we're at. Well, you got your choice. You can either take it or start your own religion. I mean, there's no... Our Lord didn't say, here's a suggestion, you know. He said, this is it. Well, but it's not another norm, another thing I got to do. It's God the Father. And that's why he changes the text from be holy, stay away, to be perfect, go out. Love. Is that hard? Boy, it's hard. It was a time in my life when I was very persecuted. And finally told to get out. And I spent the week, I was up in a hermitage, and I spent the week with my face on the floor, weeping, begging God, don't let me hate. Now I know that that was the Holy Spirit. That certainly was not my sublime virtue. But that's where we're at, folks. That's where we're at. So, the message is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But when you want to know what to do, hear, feel, know your Father. That means we've got to set out on a little pilgrimage to really get to know him. That means time for prayer. Time for prayer. And we're so busy doing what? I don't know. Well, it's the pace of life. You know, you got to do all these things. Well, got to do a lot of them anyway. Pray. Because we're going to be passing through a rather crucial moment, not just up here in the whole world. Who is going to show all these frightened people when they lose their homes, when the tornadoes come or whatever? Who's going to show these people the face of the Father? We are. You get it, don't you? That's why, you see, it's a covenant. It's not a contract. God says, look at all I've done for you. Now what I want for you is to be like me.